Do you look to so-called guilty pleasures when you're feeling stressed? We're going to talk to our guest about maybe why you shouldn't feel guilty about those what we call guilty pleasures. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. With us, Sammy Schock is an associate professor in the Department of Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. Research focuses on disability, race, and gender in contemporary American literature and culture, especially African American and women's texts. So great to have her with us. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What do you consider your guilty pleasure? Are you embarrassed to admit you like a certain show or movie? Join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Sammy Schock, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you about guilty pleasures. You got involved talking about guilty pleasures in a response to a tweet last year, I think. Tell us what happened.
So there was a person who was doing a news story asking for academics in particular to talk about what their guilty pleasures were. And some of the examples that people were giving were things that I study and many of my colleagues study in terms of popular literature, popular culture, music. And so I responded to say that a lot of these things that people were saying were their guilty pleasures are actually things that have a lot of importance for people, have a lot of real depth to them when you take time to learn about them, and are often things that are associated with women and people of color, marginalized folks. And so I just wanted to question that idea of why it was a guilty pleasure, why we have to associate something kind of negative or bad with that, and just generally resist the idea that pleasure is a bad thing.
and it's not. What was the response to that?
Folks really responded to, well, I wrote a piece in the Inside Higher Ed in response to it, and I think that, yeah, a lot of people realized that approach to saying guilty pleasure is a way of kind of distancing ourselves from pleasure because somehow, you know, smart people and serious people aren't supposed to have fun or enjoy things, or the things we enjoy have to be like super fancy, elitist, you know, like things. And I just don't think that's the case. And I think that that's a problem for academics and for all of us.
Yeah, for sure. You brought up a lot of things in your article that most of us probably haven't thought about before, to be perfectly honest. Is that part of your work to look under the hood, so to speak, of acceptable social norms?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as someone who works in gender and women's studies and focuses on race and gender and disability and sexuality, I'm thinking about marginalized people and our experiences of the world all of the time. And we are the ones that have our pleasure most policed and most denied. And so I believe that pleasure is freedom. Pleasure is part of liberation. And so studying the things that bring us pleasure is really important for understanding how we make better worlds.
Yeah. I'll give our listeners a chance to join in. If you have a question, comment, or a guilty pleasure you want to share with us, you can join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. How does a society decide what's worthwhile pursuit and what's a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots and lots of different ways. So I think one thing is that in a world where we live in a capitalist world, so one thing that we decide is a valuable pleasure is a pleasure that kind of produces something. It results in something. And so when pleasure is just pleasure for pleasure's sake, you know, sitting down to watch a television show, if there's not something being produced from that, if you're not, you know, actively learning something, that is kind of put down, right? So in our world, we have to automatically, production is a thing that's really valued. And then, of course, we have things in our world that are devalued, and particularly femininity. So a lot of things that are associated with women are denigrated. So things like romance novels are considered less valuable literature, considered to be these guilty pleasures, particularly because of their association with women, and that the idea that romance and relationships are not serious and important business, which they are. We know that, you know, producing and being in good relationships is a thing that is of value. And again, having fantasy and having escape, experiencing pleasure is also valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Connie in Portage has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Connie.
Hi. My guilty pleasure is public television. My children know never, ever call me on certain nights because I have, like, Father Brown night or any of those. And I will not move. I am just glued to the television set. You know, I can't help it. I love public television and public radio.
And there should be no guilt in that at all, right, Connie? No guilt in that. That's great. You should have something that you enjoy and time away from your kids. They shouldn't bother you all the time.
No.
Oh, man. Well, we lost Connie there, I think. Oh, that's too bad. Well, I tell you what, it's fun to hear these things. Actually, let's go to Joseph, or Jason, rather, Jefferson. Let's see what's on Jason's mind. Hi, Jason.
Good afternoon, sir. Morning, actually. But...
Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just a recreational marijuana user. And I find that it is just a good, happy remedy for the blues. Simply put.
Well, Sammy, comment?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think there's nothing guilty about these pleasures. I think that's going to be the thing that I keep emphasizing here. There's nothing guilty about doing something that brings you pleasure. And we also know that marijuana is being increasingly legalized across the country as for medicinal purposes, right? Mm-hmm. To help with depression, to help with anxiety, to help with chronic pain, glaucoma, mm-hmm. so many things. This is not a guilty pleasure. And if it also brings some joy and some happiness, it's not a bad thing. It's not a problem. You know, I think anytime something is done, you know, never to excess, as long as it's not harming anybody, it's a good thing. And so, yeah, some recreational marijuana, go on to Illinois, get yourself some.
There you go. Dr. Sammy Schock, our guest today, it's great to have her with us as we talk about guilty pleasures. Do you have some or questions about them? She has some interesting ideas, things that I certainly hadn't thought about when I was thinking about my own guilty pleasures, but I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 with those guilty pleasures or with questions about what's going on, why are they valuable, why can they be valuable, as Dr. Sammy's talking with us about here. You've written that many times, much of what is considered low culture, as you say, is it is sometimes, well, it's often associated with poor and working class people. Mm-hmm. You mentioned women, racialized group. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so in our culture, those who have the most power also get to determine what gets saved, what gets considered important, right? So the art and the media that goes into our textbooks, into our museums, those are considered most valuable. But most of those decisions historically have been made from wealthy white men. And so a lot of the things that we consider the rest of the world, those of us who are living, find valuable and important might not be the things that are given the most financial value or put in museums, because the things that we enjoy are not valued in this by the people in power and by hegemonic forces, as like academic language might say. So you know, and historically, many things that eventually take on more mainstream power and eventually get some respect often come from marginalized communities. So I'm thinking about Kendrick Lamar winning a Pulitzer for rap, right? When rap for a long time was considered this like horrible, not even real music. They're just saying words kind of thing that's comes out of Black communities and poor and urban Black communities often in particular. And so that music was denigrated for so long. And then suddenly people start paying attention because it's won this, again, an award mostly associated with upper class and whiteness. So yeah, for there are many things that bring people joy, and the way anytime something that brings us joy is denigrated, I encourage people to just ask the question about why. What's the problem here? That's the real question. Is it something that's harmful? Is my pleasure hurting someone? Or are you just telling me that the way I experience the world joyfully is bad because it's different from the way you experience joy in the world?
Dr. Sammy Schock is going to be with us till 12:30 today. Dr. Schock, an associate professor in the Department of Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or guilty pleasures at 800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll be back right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller. Larry Mueller here for the Ideas Network. Glad to have you with us. We've been talking about guilty pleasures with our guest today. She is Dr. Sammy Schock, an associate professor in the Department of Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. So do you think liking something that others think is a waste of time says something negative about you? Why should something that brings you pleasure also bring you guilt? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And speaking of callers, we have Jackie from Arena with us next. Let's go there. Jackie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. And I love this topic. I have absolutely no guilt about pretty much anything in my life because I'm the only one that lives my life. I'm an adult woman, and so my choices are nobody's business except those people that I'm interacting with at the time. But what I actually really wanted to talk to you about was we had this phenomenal music teacher. Dr. Schock had mentioned how, you know, there's a category of elite things that if you're a good person, if you're a smart person, you have to like certain things or whatever. And we had a music teacher when I was age 10 and from then on for several years who really made music, all music, accessible. So he would be playing Beethoven or Tchaikovsky or whatever of the famous music that we know. And he would be sitting at the front of the class playing air drums, air guitar, air cello, whatever, and invited all of us to do the same. And so he would just encourage us to respond to the music in whatever way felt natural to us. But then he would also, in the subsequent lesson, play the Stones and Dylan and the music of the day. So I'm kind of aging myself here, but you know, but as we know, Dylan now has a Nobel Prize for Literature for his lyrics. And it really made music of all genres accessible and acceptable. And although I'm a non-college-educated white woman raised in public housing, I love Meatloaf and Led Zeppelin and opera and a whole range of music because this guy said, it's okay. And I think we need more teaching like that, that loving something makes it acceptable. The fact that you love it, that it inspires you, that it makes you respond in a way that is visceral and normal for you, is in and of itself a way of giving it acceptance.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much. Dr. Sammy, you love it, and why do you love it? Or at least respond.
Yeah, I love that for a couple of reasons. One, that inviting someone into your pleasure and expressing your pleasure, it allows someone else to be like, yeah, I'm allowed to enjoy this, right? I think we're often, again, we're told to like suppress our pleasure and our joy, and because that is a vulnerable thing to be so enjoying yourself, right? If you're a teacher in front of a classroom just playing your air guitar and your air drums and just really being fully in your pleasure in front of other people, it can be a vulnerable thing, but it's also allowing other people to do that, to say, hey, this is okay to enjoy yourself and to enjoy this thing. And it does the opposite of what when someone says, oh, this is my guilty pleasure, right? If there's something that you love and someone else is calling that thing a guilty pleasure, it indicates to you that you shouldn't love it as much as you do, or you shouldn't love it as sincerely as you do. You should only love it like ironically. I love inviting people into your pleasure experience, and that allows that pleasure and that joy to keep spreading.
Yeah. And Jackie, thank you so much. I really appreciate your comments. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. What about your guilty pleasures and how they affect you? Love to hear from you. So join in. Well, what happens when we devalue mainstream culture?
Yeah. So when we devalue mainstream culture, it's one of the ways that we say that this large swath of people that enjoy something, their pleasure is meaningless. It's empty. It doesn't have value because nothing makes it onto, you know, I think about something like Grey's Anatomy. That was one show that people kept saying was a guilty pleasure for them. I love that show, and it has been on for so long, and it is so popular. How can it have no value when clearly it is influencing and being engaged by so many people? I think that, again, we are not often open to the idea that something that brings you deep pleasure might not bring someone else deep pleasure, and that that's okay. We don't have to value those things differently, but just understand that some things are not for you and some things are for other people. I think we're in a really amazing media landscape right now with all of the streaming services that are available, that there is something for everyone out there. There's some sort of media that brings you pleasure. And so it's okay to find that thing and enjoy it, especially right now. I don't know how I would have made it through lockdown without all of the streaming services in my life to give me a little pleasure, to give me a little hope about the world. It's so, so important for us in this time, especially where we're so deeply isolated from connection with one another.
Well, I got to tell you, I like Grey's Anatomy, too, and my daughter and I watch it every... And it's a great show. But I've also had people say to me, two other shows that we watch, one is Survivor and the other is The Amazing Race. And I like both of those shows. And I've had people say, you actually watch Survivor? Well, my daughter and I watch it together.
Yeah.
And
all your pleasure that you get out of that show matters, right? And when people say that, they're being dismissive of it. But I think this other thing about connection with other people, right? That's something that you do, you don't even have to love the show, but you love the experience of it with someone, right? That too is an important thing that I think is missing in our conversation about the media itself, that sometimes it is about the community and the experience that arises out of it. I think about all the people that get on Twitter and do like live conversations as a show is unfolding. And that's like a digital version of what I used to do in high school with my best friend when we would watch Dawson's Creek and we would call each other during commercials to talk about it. That experience is part of the pleasure, right? It connects us to people. It's not just about zoning out or escaping. It is about sharing stories, having shared stories with one another.
Yeah, well, I think in all three of the shows I mentioned, a lot of the fun of it is being able to sit there with the daughter Emily and talk about, you know, what's going on with each of those shows. And it's a connection that we have that is valuable to me, I think, to her as well.
Absolutely.
Christine in Delafield, we'll go to you now. Hi, Christine.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind? Yeah.
Well, I just love this show, but I have to say my comment would be it's not only okay to engage in our guilty pleasures. I think it's why we're here. It's our responsibility. And I'll use the word God on this show, but I usually don't use that word, but it's what God wants us to do. We're creating for being, for consciousness. This is what that entity wants, and that's why it feels good. And I think just if we listen to other people and only do what other people want, we're missing out. And that's one of our biggest challenges, is to get over our social conditioning. That's all conditioning. Once we get through that, we're on our way.
Oh,
so that's it.
Christine, thanks. A comment, Dr. Sammy?
Yes, absolutely. There's an author, Adrienne Marie Brown. She has a book called Pleasure Activism that I absolutely adore. And there's a quote in that that says, pleasure is the point. Like, there is no reason to be alive other than to feel good. And that goodness comes from all kinds of things. But when we resist the things that feel good because someone tells us they don't like it, or that thing is a thing we should not enjoy, when it's doing no harm, right, of course, no harm, it is a way of keeping us from being fully alive, fully in our experiences of our bodies and our minds and our communities and the people we love. So yeah, absolutely. Pleasure is the point. Whether you believe that it is pleasure given from a higher purpose, a higher being, or something else, but we have this deep capacity for pleasure. And when we have that, it is when we are most free. And so for me, I believe that we have to fight for all of us to have all of the pleasure that we can possibly experience and to make our work, make our jobs, make everything pleasurable.
Great. Christine, thanks again. Matthew in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call so much.
Sure.
So I just wanted to comment on, I'm not sure how aware anyone is of this, but video games are a big part of my life. And I think as time has gone on, a lot of adults are sort of accepting video games as like recreation that one doesn't have to feel guilty about. But what I really want to comment on is sort of this horrible trend of adults making kids who enjoy their video games sort of feel ostracized or maybe like cringe-inducing, because a lot of kids are taking such innocent, absolutely engaged pleasure in sharing sort of the experiences in games that a lot of adults have written off as lame or wrong or not fun. And I feel like that's almost a projection of so many adults who feel like they have to defend their own recreation to people, and they sort of project that insecurity on all of these kids who are increasingly finding such great communities and kinship in enjoying certain very popular video games. I just wish adults, if they could take a little more, just understand that they don't have to feel so insecure about these guilty pleasures, and they don't have to make especially children feel so bad about taking the innocent joy in the things that they do. So that's just my comment on that.
Matthew, thank you so much. Dr. Sammy, comment?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think a lot of us were told that things that we loved as kids, we either needed to give up now or that we would have to give up eventually, right? That you can't just, I was a big reader as a kid, and I was told, you can't just read books all day. And I'm like, that's literally my job now, is I read books all of the time. So yes, you can like have pleasure into adulthood. So I think that the more that we project that back onto kids and say, the kind of trauma that we went through of having our pleasures taken from us, that now we're doing it to other people, we're just completing that cycle. So yeah, again, things that are pleasurable for children aren't necessarily going to be pleasurable for adults, and that's okay. I think it's important that when you don't like something, it doesn't mean it's this wholesale rejection of the whole thing, that just because you don't like it, everyone should throw it in the trash. Let people have their pleasures and just say, okay, you know, it's like liking different things on pizza. Like, you like that, I like this. Sometimes we're going to get different pizzas, and that's okay. You enjoy your thing, I'll enjoy mine.
Thank you again, Matthew. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. So, you know, there are some, I think, benefits beyond just feeling good that go along with guilty pleasures. Aren't there things that happen in our brains or in our minds that that are useful to have a guilty pleasure that takes you away from the other things you were doing?
Absolutely. So when we engage in pleasure, we're also engaging in rest, and we are releasing endorphins into our body. These are all things that are so important to us. There's a real physiological experience of pleasure, and that can be, again, intellectual and visual pleasures of watching something, emotional pleasures. It can be physical pleasures of touch and cuddling, or aesthetic pleasures of eating a really good meal and feeling deeply satisfied by that. All of those things are about wellness and taking care of ourselves. Pleasure is a part of that. And so that's why I really push people to take guilty out of the equation. Take guilt and shame out of your experience of pleasure, and think of it every time as a way that you are nourishing yourself and nourishing the people around you, so that you can be a happier, more present, balanced, holistically healthy kind of person in the world.
I will have to admit, I binge watched a show, and I did feel guilty after I was done with it.
Why do you feel guilty? What's that guilt?
Well, I felt like, oh man, you just wasted a whole bunch of time here, hours watching something when you could have been doing something else, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why exactly, but.
Right. That denigration of pleasure. I think we make pleasure be the thing that comes when everything else is done. Pleasure is the extra thing in a lot of our lives, rather than the thing that we center ourselves on, to say pleasure has to be a part of all of this. And that even means the things that we have to do. I turn on music that I love when I do laundry and chores. You know, I try to make those things pleasurable. But you having time to rest, to take in a show that you like, and it sounds like you had the time. It didn't sound like, you know, you avoided all your responsibilities while binge watching. You had time and you made a choice to center pleasure, and that's a good thing for you, right? It's a good thing. It's okay to do. It's part of, yeah, again, why we're here. So, yeah, I really encourage people, anytime you feel that, like, oh, I shouldn't have, I could have done something more productive, to think of pleasure as a productive and important, valuable thing.
Let's go to Dennis in Wausau next. Dennis, thank you for calling.
Hello. My guilty pleasure is I'm a white male. Every day of my life, I know that I am enjoying things, privileges that sometimes I don't even deserve. And I've experienced these things subtly all of my life. And I realize it's true. I realize in most cases there's nothing I can do about it, except in this particular instance, talk about it. It's
No, I definitely understand what you're saying, and I highly recommend the book Pleasure Activism, again, if that's something you're interested in, because one of the things that Adrienne Marie Brown says in that book is that those of us who have various kinds of privileges, and I'm really experiencing that right now as someone who, I just got tenure, so I just got a raise, and I have this extra income that I've never had before, right? So I think about, what do I do with this privilege to share my pleasure? So Adrienne Marie Brown talks about pleasure being political, and that we have an obligation to make sure that we are creating and sharing pleasure for others as well, particularly for marginalized people. So for me, most recently, I bought a bunch of onesies for some friends because I was like, it's cold. We're all going to be inside all pandemic winter. Everybody I love gets some silly fun onesies because I have a little bit of money to spend. Or I go to events and protest and I bring food to share with people so that people have a little bit of joy, a little pleasure. So I think that's the thing when you know that you have some privilege to think about how can I bring more pleasure, particularly to marginalized people? How do I share this privilege to create more joy in the world for people?
Yeah, for sure. When you mentioned tenure, I remember back to my to that experience of gaining tenure. it was quite an experience to share. And I actually felt a little bit almost guilty about that. Or at any rate, I'm glad you brought it up. Victoria in Minneapolis, your turn. Hi, Victoria.
Hi. Okay, so I used to be like a really elitist when it came to the type of things that I would consume. And I remember I was reading Sophocles in high school and I was like, wow, man, like this guy from thousands of years ago and a different language and across the ocean is making me feel these things. And so many people have read this and we've all felt these, we've all laughed and we've all cried and stuff with this. And it felt really powerful. But then I realized that, you know, literally everything kind of does that, and that if you, like, especially the mainstream things, it does it on a larger scale, where that was the first time I got this feeling of interconnectedness with all mankind, with that, with those emotions that we all experienced, you know. And then I guess I just realized that everything, and even if it's just a dumb song that is, you know, like a song on the radio that lots of people listen to, we're all feeling the same thing, and it feels so good to connect with everyone like that.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for calling, Victoria. Sammy, a comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Consuming different kinds of media and experiencing pleasure with people is a powerful experience. Like I was saying, you know, the fan cultures that come up around media are also their own sources of pleasure and joy. So whether that's reading a classic novel or watching a sci-fi movie and then going to a convention, these things are ways that we connect with one another because, again, we have these shared stories and shared emotions from these things. And they're made by people, right? All the things we are consuming are being lovingly crafted by people to impact us. People don't just make television for no reason. They want to impact us. They care about their work. These are artists. So we're appreciating art when we do this.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a real pleasure to talk with you. I hope we have a chance to do this again. Would you come back and be with us?
Absolutely.
Dr. Sammy Schock, our guest today, associate professor with tenure in the Department of Gender and Women's Studies at UW-Madison. Great to have her with us, and we'll get her back, and we'll do this again, talk about some other aspects of her life or her career as well. I'm pretty sure we can do that. Well, speaking of pleasures, I don't know if it's guilty or not, but it's gardening tomorrow on the show. Jeff Epping from Olbrich Botanical Gardens will be back to talk about designing winter interest and pleasure into your garden. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.